Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a show that happens twice a week where two old guys talk about old games. Dave, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the week.
Yeah.
We're past Monday.
I'm so excited. We're almost through the weekend.
Almost.
That feels so depressing to say. We're actually recording this on a Monday. I need to go lay down in the shower now.
But on Wednesdays, it's original flavor. What the podcast was originally meant for.
Yes. Super Nintendo games.
IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games.
Yes.
Today, we'll be talking about IGN's 37th ranked game, UN Squadron.
Yep. Yep. It's the best ranked side-scrolling shooter on their list.
Yeah. That's true. I was trying to think about that. Is this the highest? There it is. You're right.
Because I think from here on out, all the shooters are like just running guns. Because I know we've got Contra coming up.
Yeah, we do. But first, Dave.
Yes, Tyler.
For the majority of my high school career, I had a serious girlfriend.
Right. I remember you mentioning that.
Starting, let's see, my sophomore year up until my senior year.
Yes.
And we broke up once, right before my senior year started. Then we got back together one semester.
Is that when you did the dancing video game stuff?
Took the video of us trying to get back together? Is that what you're talking about?
No. When did in the Tyler relationship timeline, mm-hmm. when was the picking up or trying to impress a girl by DDR?
College.
Okay.
College.
Okay. So way after.
Yeah, it's
okay.
No. If okay. I only had those skills back then. No, and we broke up. I was devastated my summer of my junior year. Like, lost all sorts of weight. Like, I was super depressed. We got back together one semester in my senior year. And I made some very stupid mistakes that you do whenever you're a teenager, thinking you're in love and this is going to be forever.
Okay, great. Lay them on me. We're ready to hear them.
So when my mom paid a lot of money to go have me very nice senior portraits done.
Okay. Like with the whole like fists under your chin and stuff like that?
Like the one where Josh dies. Like I had right. those. I had those pictures.
Okay, made. Great. Good.
There's one of me in like an overcoat with my sword, like Highlander style.
Nice. Was it your corduroy jacket?
No. They'll bring me breaking it in hives.
Right.
I had all my Dragon Ball Z stuff, and I slicked my hair up like Vegeta when I had enough hair to do that.
Okay.
So we didn't buy that one. We just had like two odds of that one.
Did you have
Mom like wasn't crazy about that
a sizable
one.
Collection?
Yeah, I had like wall scrolls
nice.
And like all sorts
do
of
do you
shit.
Have them still?
Like Brandon of Axelay fame, he had a very amazing senior picture with him with all his Journey stuff.
Right.
So I want to do something similar. But like what am I into? not a great band, Dragon Ball Z. So
I mean, Dragon Ball Z is probably a better band than Journey.
So I had that one taken, but then there were several I insisted my high school girlfriend be in.
Okay.
So a lot of my senior portraits, she's in.
So you look back and your family's like, remember that girl?
Yep. Even worse, my senior dedication page in the yearbook, where you can put like your parents will pay to have page taken out, blah, blah, blah. So I made them put a bunch of pictures of her in my senior dedication page.
You were in love.
Oh, I'm so much
in
love.
You were in
so
love.
So much. I've apologized to Meg. Like, I'm sorry we can't be in heaven because I've already promised this girl I was going to be with her. I'm sorry.
So
I'm sorry.
You and this girl are going to be living in heaven with all your heavenly
all
treasures.
Our treasures. All our treasures.
What's Meg's 246 going to do?
I don't know.
I stumble for a moment. It is Meg's 246, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I thought I forgot the classic. The classic username.
So now yeah, stupid mistakes. Good stuff.
I made a stupid mistake once, Tyler.
Did you?
I did. I am Dave, your bespectacled host. And Tyler...
Jerked off with shampoo.
I have done that before.
You make that mistake once.
I That reminds me of a story. Thank you. That I'm not going to tell right now, but I will share at a later date.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and apologize to you because I know that you loathe toilet humor.
For the most part, yeah. For the most part.
So I'm going to try to I'm going to try to keep the scat to a minimum.
Well, see, I've told a few shit stories on this podcast, so I can't sit on that pedestal and judge.
And I hate to disappoint you, but you know a really good shit story about me, and it's not the one I'm about to tell.
Okay.
So the bad news is
Nikki has to be here for that one.
Nikki does have to be present for that. Although she says that she wants to be present for that so she can tell a shit story of her own. And I have to be honest with you, I don't want to hear that because I don't know any shit stories about her.
You didn't think she shit at all.
No, I mean, I know that she does because sometimes I'll be in the shower and I'll be like, are you shitting? So she doesn't listen anymore, so she can't get mad at me for that. By the way, Tori, if you're listening, please don't tell Nikki that I mentioned that. She's not an elf. I mean, elves don't shit, but people do. You're in luck, though. You're in luck. You don't like toilet humor. This barely qualifies as humor.
Okay.
This is a very...
It's mostly just a story about a toilet.
This is a very serious matter about how I went to Lowe's and bought a toilet once.
Okay.
As you know, I didn't like visiting my grandparents when I was a younger child. Mm-hmm. My Grammy had to essentially buy my trust and love with the porcelain animal figurines. My father's mother... I also didn't care to visit. She was a very lovely woman, but as you know, my trust of grandparents was very low. So she bought my love and affection with two things, donut holes and cereal.
Okay.
So she knew how to get me. And to this day, I don't think it takes a very smart person to look at me. They can figure out immediately this man likes three things. Donut holes, cereal, and obviously pornography. My grandmother, as far as I know, didn't have any of that. If she did, I certainly didn't see it. But she would always get these big boxes of cereal when I'd come and visit. And... it was usually I had two go-tos. Lucky Charms was number one, and then Trix was shortly followed number two. Occasionally, she liked to mix things up and throw something new in there and get a third cereal. And I would usually finish all three boxes in the night that I would spend with her. That's no exaggeration. So this one time she got me, have you heard of a cereal called Kaboom?
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with it? Have you ever had it?
It has the weird... I remember it having weird box art.
Yeah, it's got this clown, right? And the clown is standing behind a bowl full of like cereal that's shaped like the most horrifying faces you can imagine. They're all smiling, but like what's really like weird about it is like because of the negative space in the cereal, it kind of looks like a wagon wheel at first. So I'm always like, what are those wagon wheels? Oh my God, they're smiling faces. They're horrifyingly creepy. They're like things out of nightmare. So I had never had this Kaboom before, right? By the way, it's also the cereal that Vivica A. Fox fires through in Kill Bill. Spoilers. So I had never had Kaboom before. I was like, all right, let's try this Kaboom. So I ate the whole box.
Let's try this box of Kaboom.
It was, you know what? I remember it being like, okay, this kind of tastes like Trix. I ate the whole box and then I went to bed. And in the morning, my 6-year-old self stumbled out of bed with a stomach ache. And I trudged to the bathroom and sat down and pushed. And was horrified by the results.
Smiling faces that just poured forth.
When I looked down, it looked like a Technicolor Easter egg had blown up in the toilet bowl. And I was terrified. I thought that there was something wrong with me, but I was also ashamed that this had come out of me. So
You were raised Catholic, so of course you were. You were ashamed of what came out of me.
I resolved that I was not going to tell anybody. I haven't told anybody until right now. Everyone is hearing this for the first time. So that's my story. I don't know how it's related to you and Squadron, but I hope you enjoyed it.
Man, if I get a time machine, one of the first 10 things I do will go back and inform myself about what you're going to say, and I'll flip out when you say the Rainbow Park. Like, nuh-uh, Dave, that's horrible.
You don't tell people that kind of thing.
Do you know what that means? I'm not telling you if you don't know.
This podcast?
That's where we keep our pods.
It's the hard shell that we keep all our pods in. But regardless, it's not safe for work. Not safe for life, Dave. Come on.
Oh. All right, so UN Squadron.
UN Squadron.
I guess before we get started.
Yeah?
We can listen.
Uh-huh.
See if we... Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo.
Dave, read some Wikipedia Fighters yet?
Yep.
All right. This is the third transformation of Dave reads some Wikipedia good, train.
It's a little better of a transformer.
I like it. All right. This is a very short entry. I was really disappointed. Mm. It's extremely short. Okay, guys. UN Squadron is a 1989 side-scrolling shooting game released for the CPS arcade hardware by Capcom.
Yeah, I had like 6 of those.
Yeah, right?
If I had one.
The game was released in Japan as Area 88. That's their version of Area 51. Okay. No, not really. I made that up. It is known in the Japan land as Iria Hachi Juhachi.
Known as the Juhachi over there in the Japan
land. Did I say that really country? I didn't mean to.
No, you didn't. The Hachi Juhachi.
And it's based on the manga series of the same name, which I didn't know. We have to dig some of this up.
Okay.
Featuring some of the main characters. Here... Their mission is to stop a terrorist group known as Project 4. I did not know that. I don't think the game gave any indication.
Nope, it does not. You're just at war.
So that was all for the arcade version of the game. They don't go into detail, but there was a Super Nintendo port that was put out in North America in 1991. I had never played this game as a kid.
I didn't either, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, you've got a story about it. Good.
Well, I just know I didn't read a lot of gaming magazines. Basically, my source for everything related to games was Shake, who did read game. He got a ton of gaming magazines, a Fish Puncher fame, and then Josh Nance of Uniracers fame, because he would just go and rent whatever every weekend.
He had a low bar.
Yeah, it's like, what's still left? Okay.
Clay Fighters it is.
We did play a lot of Clay Fighters.
I'm so sorry.
But the box art on this is awful.
It's really bad.
Like if I were to walk through Toys R Us and see this game, nothing about it would make me want to buy it.
It's not indicative of the game at all. Nope. Other than it's a fighter, right? It's like it's drawn from the
It looks
cockpit.
Like a realistic
yes.
pilot.
A very Western pilot. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look anime or manga at all.
Because the game, once you actually play the game, all the character portraits and the style, very anime.
Yes.
If they had the three pilots done in anime style and things like that on the box art, I would have been interested in this game if I had seen it.
I think you and I both were probably in the minority at the time, because I don't think the marketers in the U.S. had realized at the time that this anime thing might actually be
kids
something
like
kids
cartoons.
Are into, right? Let's draw a super realistic man in a fighter jet.
All the kids like G.I. Joes and stuff, but put a pilot on there. Nintendo America.
Man.
But side-scrolling shooters have never really been my thing, with the exception of R-Type, because I have good memories of that with my dad.
Right.
But other than that, every one that we've played, you know, they're not really... I try to be... Not be biased, because it's just not my genre. Right. I don't think they're awful games. They're just not stuff I enjoy.
And I feel the same way.
But this game has some character. And it's different. You're not the last ship in a devastated military fighting aliens that were conceived on an acid trip.
Right.
That's like the other 5 shooters that have been on this list.
Yes.
Are all that.
Well, and this is like you, I mean, are alluding to, it's not set in space at all.
Yeah,
it's set on Earth, or a planet very much like Earth. You're in a plane, and you're fighting other planes and ships and submarines and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fighting the acid trip aliens that you're referring to.
The sperm alien eyeballs,
right.
Coming at you. Yeah, it's It's more realistic and anime art style. It's I like it.
It's relatable.
Yeah.
I like it too.
And the loadout, all the customization is a lot different. Because normally, one ship, you'll go through, get upgrades, you die, you lose them all, you start over. You know, that's pretty much how every shooter has been.
Right.
And this one, you choose, when you start off, you choose between three pilots.
Yes, very
cool.
Each
one being a little different.
And they're drawn in a very anime style.
Because there's Shin.
Mm-hmm.
Shin has the best weaponry.
And also the best hair.
The best hair.
Because it's combed over one eye. He's got the Kakashi thing going on.
Oh, yeah. Mickey.
Uh-huh.
Who is the female? Is Mickey?
I thought he was a dude.
Okay.
But maybe, I'm pretty sure he's a dude.
Pretty sure, okay.
Maybe.
Mickey can have multiple specials at once. I was never
able to pull that off.
Yeah, I don't. A lot of what the game back said was the same way. Like, we don't get why Mickey's so special, but okay.
Yeah.
And then the one I played through the game with.
I was hoping you played as
You're damn right
as
I played as Greg.
What nationality do you think Greg is? I was trying to figure that
Greg,
out.
Greg, I'll further narrow it down. Greg is from Tennessee. Greg is from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Greg Gates, I believe his
Greg
name is.
Greg Gates.
He's Bill's hillbilly cousin.
He's got a big black beard, and his ship has a high defense. He can take way more hits than the rest of the crew.
That's who I've started out with, because I was like, I am going to need the help, because I am not good at games like this.
And this game really doubles down on how much help you're going to need, because it is hard.
It is very difficult. It is. I haven't finished all of the side-scrolling shooters we've played. But I got further in all of them than I did in this game. This game is extremely difficult. And I played it on easy.
Yeah, I played it on easy as Greg, and it's still, you're right.
I switched to Shin because I was like, maybe it's just Greg. Because I started as Greg as well. I was like, maybe, you know what, maybe Greg just isn't cutting the mustard. Let me try Shin out. I did a little better because I was able to upgrade my Vulcan cannons quicker with Shin. But still... very difficult. I feel like this is one of these games that you learn. Like, playing this game becomes a skill unto itself. That's not just an overarching, oh, I'm good at video games. It's like, oh, I'm good at UN Squadron.
I kind of feel like the trick to this game is amassing lots and lots of money.
And I like that you gain money that you use to purchase upgrades.
You upgrade your plane and you upgrade your weaponry.
Or you can buy a totally new plane.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's really cool because each plane can have a different loadout. Like, some planes can carry bombs while others can't. And also, you level up your planes, like you said, with power-ups that you pick up throughout the levels. And the more expensive a plane, the higher you can level it up. And these levels are for your Vulcan cannons.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, if your max level of your first plane, which is like level 5, you've got a Vulcan cannon, I think, that can shoot 5 shots at once.
Because the higher, the next level of the plane can carry more special weapons. The most expensive plane can carry every single special weapon you can buy.
Yeah, that one's like $1 million.
Yeah, it's very expensive. But in each weapon, not all of them are really that useful, but... They made a big difference for me playing the game, especially the
special weapons.
Yeah, especially the cluster shot.
Now, and they're limited too, so you have to use them you have to use them wisely because they're a limited resource.
Yeah. I remember the bomb, like the cheapest is the bomb you can just drop at the bottom of your plane.
Yes,
you get 40 of those, and it's fairly inexpensive. Those are available on every one. It's a good weapon.
Yeah. Because there's plenty of stuff on the ground, on ground level, that's shooting up at you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always useful, and it's useful in bosses too.
Yeah, and I mean, every weapon has dramatically different results. Like the cluster weapon that's where you fire it in just a short range circle around you. So you'll very easily get enemies coming up behind you, above you, below you, especially the land units that will be shooting up. It's a very good weapon to have in any circumstance. Mm-hmm. It's kind of you can use it as the trick to helping you get more money, because you have your normal, you choose your levels. Like, there'll be your strategist showing you what points of the battlefield you're going to have to go to.
He has like a Charlie Manson looking mark on his forehead.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre. It's like if Sephiroth and Charlie Manson had a baby.
Everybody's wondering, that's some good fan art. Let's have But you can pick different missions, and then also you can cut off supply lines and things like that. The supply line level is interesting because basically, you're just going back and forth. You have 30 seconds to bomb the shit out of these supply trucks.
See, really. I did not make it to that.
Yeah.
That must be beyond a mission that I was able to finish.
I think you have to beat like 2 or 3 missions to get there. But you buy a cluster bomb for like 2,000.
Uh-huh.
When you swoop down, use the cluster bomb. And then when you swoop down your second one, go all out firing. You'll wipe them all out.
To destroy these caravans?
Yeah. Okay. And then you get 20,000 and it only costs you 2,000 and you can repeat it.
It costs you 2,000 to play the mission?
2,000 to buy the cluster bomb to go in, and then the payoff for it is a $20,000 bonus.
Okay, cool.
So that's how you can rack up the money to, as soon as possible, get your planes and get your higher upgrades and things like that.
When you say that, it reminds me of there's also moving enemy pieces that are on the map. That remind me of like the Hammer Brothers from Mario 2 because they're kind of roaming. Because everything, you start out at your base, which is Area 88. And if you go out and do missions like you do, mm-hmm. The enemy moving units will move closer to your base. And if they reach your base, you have to play a mission.
You have to go back and repel the enemy.
Right. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Because that happened to me once where you have to, it's like a nighttime storm and you're having to shoot down all these planes until you get to like the mutant plane, which is a much larger version of all the other planes you've been shooting.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And that reminds me, you say mutant plane, probably one of my favorite planes in this game, Tyler, is the infamous fishing lure plane. That is the giant plane that poops fishing lures at you.
Oh, those Japanese. Let's see. The cluster bomb, the Falcon missile, the Phoenix missile is a homing missile you can get. Yeah. Those are very useful.
Is the, what's the missile that skims the ground?
I think that's the Falcon missile.
Okay. That one was pretty cool, I thought. Because there are a lot of things on the ground.
Because here's the one I don't understand. Let's see. The super shell.
I never got to use
that. The super shell is a lightning bolt that does
a
huge amount of damage.
Shoots out like diagonally. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But there's also the thunder laser.
Yeah, I didn't get to use that one either.
That shoots out 3 lasers in front of you at once.
Okay.
I feel like maybe those names should have, like, why would something called the super shell shoot lightning and then the thunder just...
What does it shoot?
The thunder laser does shoot lasers, but
okay.
The super shell shoots lightning.
So you feel like they need to be swapped.
They should be swapped.
Yeah. Well, that might. Do you think it's a translation issue?
Possibly.
The reason I ask is because you mentioned the blue pilot, Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. His name was unfamiliar to me. His last name, his surname was Sychmon. Sychmon. And apparently in the arcade version, it's Simon. So, I don't know.
Make it Sychmon.
Sychmon.
So then, of course, he talked about the standard bombs that drop. Very good on bosses. Napalm does the same thing, but makes the fiery line on wherever the bomb hits.
So it's like a bomb, but it expands
it
when
spreads.
It hits.
It spreads, yeah. Cool. The gun pod, which you put a Gallic gun on top of your plane, and it fires diagonally as you fly.
Okay.
Not super useful, but...
Good, because I never got to use it, because I could never afford it. Yeah.
The sailing missile, which was a missile that goes straight up in the air. Not useful unless you're fighting a big boss you can get under. And then, of course, the Mega Crush.
Mega Crush. I use this one.
Yeah, the Mega Crush is good. It's basically send in for an air raid, and just huge lasers go all over the screen, destroy everything.
Everything. And you can only use one. You buy one, you use it once.
Except your final plane can have 3.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. The $1 million plane?
The $1 million plane.
The dream plane?
The thing you'll spend hours and hours just buying the shit out of these places. Yeah.
Well, you only have to do it, 50 times? That's not too bad.
But really, this, as a kid, I would have relished this probably.
I would too.
I think it would have been good. It's not good when you're an adult and you have shit to do, but it's good when you're a kid for summer break and like get this plane.
I think it's still good when you're an adult and you have shit to do. It's just you're going to spend a long time learning how to like really master it in order to get anywhere.
Have you played the noob? Nope. Playing
UN Squadron.
1989 hit.
Classic.
The levels do kind of blend in for me, all the missions. There were a few that were really different, but for the most part, like all the missions seemed slightly similar, except for like, let's say the submarine level.
Yes.
So you're having to fight the submarine that comes because it's another optional level. You'll just see the sea at the bottom. It's one of the roving
enemies.
Yeah, where the submarine will come up, then you can go and attack it.
Yes.
It's a unique fight that it will come up, fire stuff up in the air, and you have to dodge it and try to drop bombs on it before it submerges again.
Can I say that I was super impressed with how the submarine comes up, like to a surprising degree, because it comes up like a real submarine. It's not like you would expect a submarine to come up in a video game, because especially a 1991 video game, I would expect the submarine to just kind of boop, come up vertically. No, it comes up at like a 45 degree angle, like a submarine actually does when it surfaces.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. And it's intimidating. It's a gigantic submarine.
It's a huge submarine. You're like, if Kelsey Grammer is playing that submarine, we are fucked.
Which he is, because I was always fucked when I fought the submarine. I never beat it.
Yeah. It took me a very, very long time. I had to buy all this. I had to make sure I bought all the stuff that could drop.
Yeah.
Because the bombs are super useful on this, because getting down low enough when it comes up to shoot it head on, it's just, that's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Yeah. I would always bomb it until I was out of bombs and then be like, well, I guess I'm going to fly down to my death.
Yep. See, I remember the forest. It was interesting because you're firing, the forest starts catching on fire, and there are these huge pods that are shooting planes up. You destroy the pods. You eventually get to the mountain. Let's see. There was the aircraft carrier, one of the later levels.
I never beat it.
Because I thought it was interesting because once you pass the aircraft carrier, your plane, you know what you got to do. You turn around, go through the level again backwards, because you have to fly over and bomb it again. Then once you get to the other side, if it's still not gone, you'll turn around again and then turn around again. So it's a different mechanic.
That's cool, right, because
that's what you would do. Yeah, I've never seen something like that in any other shooter.
There is. It also reminds me of, there's this level where you're doing just doing dogfights. It might be when you're scrambling against one of the fighter jets. There are enemies behind you that are just shooting at you, and they're super annoying, and I always take them out with a cluster shot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, what was interesting about this level is that it parallaxed. So it's like, it was like two screens on top of one another, and it almost, like, it takes a lot for me to get nauseous when I'm playing a game.
Mm.
But this is the one where you could essentially go down two screens and go back up two screens.
Yeah.
And like every time I would do it, it would kind of make me queasy in my stomach, because the enemies move perfectly with you when you do it. So it's just kind of, I don't know, it was really offsetting. It felt like I was, I don't know, reliving a virtual boy or something like that.
Normally, it's hard to make me sick to my stomach, but I'll tell a story about Josh Nance of Universal's fame, and I went to a fair, like a county fair or whatever, trying to impress some girls that were with us.
Naturally.
And we go to, I can't forget the proper name, but you get in it and it spins so fast that it holds you up against the walls.
Is that a tilt-a-whirl?
No, the tilt-a-whirl is where it's spin, an arm spins and you spin in the cage on the arm. That's the tilt-a-whirl. This one is just, you get in this cylinder that starts spinning around so quickly it presses you.
Okay, I've seen those in videos, but I've never, you know, I've seen this video of this like badass kid doing like poses and stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
was this video of you?
We're trying to do that. Like it spins us, but of course you can like, there's a lot of force, so you can turn upside down or whatever, and it's totally fine. But no, Josh and I, we're badasses. We start doing like sit-ups.
Whoa.
It's like pushing us over, doing sit-ups. We're trying to stand straight up against it. So when the ride is over and we get off, the girls are laughing and giggling. We immediately go to the bench and just like, we are trying to not throw up.
Did you make it?
Like I did. I feel like maybe Josh threw up a little bit. But one of us threw up. But I remember that was, oh, fuck, I was sick.
Did it look like Kaboom? Fuck.
That's shameful. You dishonored me, David. But, like, yeah, the girls are, like, patting us on the back, clearly, like, fucking pussies. And Josh and I are both leaned over, heads in our hands between our knees.
No, I'll have fun with you guys in a little bit. They didn't understand you were doing it to impress them?
To impress them. Mm. Nope.
And then they flipped away to cheerleading practice.
See, there was also one of the later levels, the large castle. It's similar to the aircraft carrier, only you go through these what look like observer domes that will open up and shoot things out, or a gun will come out of that. And you have to go up, and there's enough screen for you to barely get above it and below and you have to go back and forth.
They're like shielded turrets?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are those like that's the boss or?
Yeah, you have to knock out every single gun on the castle before the level will end. And it takes a very, very long time. This level wasn't incredibly difficult because they don't fire very fast. It's just maneuvering and then making sure you have enough weaponry and can position yourself to take out everything after such a long, long time.
I feel like the bosses of this game were what made it so difficult because you're describing some of these levels and it's like, oh, that was the boss that I got to and could never beat. Because like the actual getting to the boss is, I mean, difficult in its own right, but nowhere near as difficult as the bosses.
Yeah, the bosses are always, it's always super tricky. And if you run out of weapons,
good luck.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible if you run out of the weapons to get the positioning for your normal, you can only shoot the forward direction kind of shit.
At least the casual UN squadron players like you and me.
And of course, the final level, which I couldn't beat, was you fight an enormous plane. And you basically have to use all of your weapons as you go around the plane. Mother plane. You had to, I saw the guy, I had to watch YouTube videos about it because I couldn't do it. You had to get underneath it and use the saline missile, and you had to get above it and drop bombs. The saline missile, just breast implants, just bam, bam, bam.
They're doing breast implants out of saline now?
I thought they always did.
Really? I thought it was like, what?
Silicone,
yeah.
I know there's saline too.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler and Dave talking about breast implants.
Is that like the sequel?
I think it's
Saline 2. We've developed a new breast.
Yeah, man, we really don't. I guess that's a gap. We can appreciate fake boobs. We just don't know what goes into them very well.
I could appreciate fake boobs a lot when I think I was younger. I don't appreciate them as much anymore.
Well, see,
I still do. I mean, but just not as much.
Yeah, there's pornography. You have to be pretty used to it.
Yeah, you're desensitized.
Well, of course, I've never encountered fake breasts in the wild.
What do you mean encountered?
Well, in a circumstance in which I could take
advantage of them. Because you were at my bachelor party.
A stripper's fine. A stripper's something different.
Okay.
A stripper's interactive pornography.
Wow.
So as opposed to like me finding a girl and her having fake breasts. Okay. Like I've never, without having to pay for it or get yelled at for trying to touch it, encountered a fake breast.
All right, fair enough.
All natural. Nor am I. I just pregnancy boobs. There you go.
Better than implants.
It's better.
Are we gonna have to edit that out? Are you gonna get in trouble?
No, I think I'm just saying they're better. I'm not saying who has pregnancy boobs.
Right.
I just think they're better.
All right. So you fire these saline missiles at the mother plane.
Yeah, you just keep going around, blowing up different parts of the mother plane until it crashes and then you
bring forth the rapture.
Yeah. You get the very 80s tastic plane zooms out, and then whoever your pilot is smiling real big with kind of the stars above and a thumbs up.
They do that after each mission, which I love. It's very like it's like they're bringing the Street Fighter trash talk to the scrolling shooter. I like it.
I love Jacob's absolute favorite, which he always talks about: go home and be a family man.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
they should. Why isn't Guile in this game?
Fucking A.
It's a Capcom game.
Man, I really
enjoyed.
Who was it? Phil Hawkins that posted the article to go read about the Street Fighter movie on the Tadpog
Facebook
group.
I think it was
him.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I did not realize how much of a clusterfuck that movie was.
I didn't read it.
Oh, it's a really Chris Plant of the Besties writes it. I don't like listening to Chris Plant all that much. Like we both love Earthbound.
I love you, Chris.
So I'm with him on that. He's a very good writer. He's a very, very good writer because he breaks down. Because it is almost on par with Mario Brothers for what is the clusterfuck of development that it was.
I mean, that's not super hard to believe considering what we got, right? I mean, well, some serious shit went down on that set.
Well, third grade, Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame, I remember him doing a report on it in class, how it was the best movie he had ever seen.
Some more review.
Yeah.
I hope the teacher's like, you're supposed to give me a report on James and the Giant Peach. Instead, you gave me a review on Street Fighter.
Very Ashton Shake thing to do, be like, nope, sorry. But like what, Jean-Claude Van Damme just hoovering up any coke he can find and having an affair with Kylie Minogue, who played Cammy. So like,
I like that.
Capcom kept like, if we're going to do this, you have to have this character. You have to have this character. You have to have this character. And he's trying to figure out, how am I going to have 11 different main characters in this movie? And then Raul Julia just had surgery for his stomach cancer. Like, he's on death's door and trying to work with him and trying to go around his schedule to film his bison scenes. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme, coke and hookers. And it was just like a lot of the people had never acted before. Like Capcom was like,
the job?
Capcom's like, hey, this guy is in.
I see.
He's big in Japan. He's Ryu. Okay.
That sounds awful.
All right, let's do some stunts. Have you ever done stunts before? Nope. How long do we have? 2 days.
It was Jackass before Jackass.
Pretty much.
Like, I like to think that the whole movie was just all about trolling.
Because apparently, like, the stunt coordinator was a very famous guy for doing stunts and martial art works in film.
Super Dave Osborne.
Fuck yes, Super Dave Osborne. But he, like, oh man, he talks, still to this day, just talks endless amounts of shit about that director and how terrible of an experience
the stunt coordinator
it was.
Does?
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad it was a good experience for him. Super Dave Osborne needs people need to give him a little more shit. He's alive still. Please tell me he's alive.
The voice of Super Dave Osborne in the cartoon is the surrogate in Arrested Development.
Yeah. I mean that is Dave Osborne, right?
And I don't think his name's Dave Osborne though.
But I mean that is the stuntman, right? In Arrested Development.
I don't know. Because
he's a real stuntman.
Was he?
I think so.
I just remember the cartoon.
Yeah, because I think when I was watching the cartoon, my parents like laid down some old like 70s wisdom on me or something. They're like, that was a real person. I might be wrong.
He's also in Curb Your Enthusiasm a whole lot.
Oh, really?
He's the other, him and Ted Danson are like Larry David's two friends that he
that's
hangs
right.
out with.
Yeah, I always remember Ted Danson because his hair is so distracting.
So just perfectly Anderson Cooper white.
If Sephiroth and Charlie Manson had a love child, it may be Ted Danson.
What else do you have to say about this pretty okay shooter?
Something really important.
Okay.
I think that the inclusion of the portraits was the most beneficial design decision that they made in this game, because I feel I don't like this genre typically. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really, well, first of all, I'm not good at them. That's one reason. The second reason, I couldn't really put my finger on anything other than that. And this game, however, they give me these portraits, right? That is a constant reminder that there is someone in that plane. Mm-hmm. There's a guy in that plane, and I have some kind of attachment to him because I like his mustache, for example.
Every time they gets hit, the portrait will like grimace.
Yeah, they do an animation, and it's like it's this really small step in this genre that really attracted me because it was like, oh God, I don't want Greg to die. Please don't die, Greg. Hold on. Like I would literally be saying these things. Hold on, Greg. We're gonna make it through this. And then, of course, he would die.
Okay, next time, Greg. Next time,
sorry.
We'll get you.
I'm glad we have an unlimited supply of your clones. Well, that's not true. I'm glad we have 8 more of you in reserve. So I really thought that was super cool, and this was 2 years before Star Fox, which of course Star Fox took portraits and dialogue, to really kind of engross you in what was going on.
That's true. I didn't even draw that line. That's true.
So I don't know if Nintendo aped that from Capcom or if it was just happenstance, but I don't know.
I've got some achievements for this game.
Do you have achievements?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
I've got, we're in a recession, and you can unlock, we're in a recession by finishing a level without buying any special weapons.
Wow.
Just going to it with just your blaster. Pretty much has to be like
the first
level.
Mission? Yeah. Which is deceivingly easy. Because when I played the first mission, I beat that with pretty much no problem. I mean, it took a couple tries, but I was like, you know what? I think I got this game.
This is
going to
be a good week. This is going to be a good week for Tapbox.
I got the mission 2. It's like, oh no, what have I done?
And the other that I have is old as gold and nostalgically cinematic. And you unlock that by never upgrading your plane. You only play through the whole plane with the old girl that you started with, that great out of commission plane.
I've got a similar achievement to that. It's in the same vein. This achievement is called, some would say it's the best number. And in order to unlock this, you need to level your Vulcan cannon in your F-8E Crusader, which is the first plane you get. You need to upgrade it 4 times.
Yeah.
My second achievement is tanks for the memories. That's a pun. And in order to unlock tanks for the memories, you have to defeat the boss of the first mission. I included that because that is like one of three bosses that I actually beat in this game.
Do you feel like puns are really making a strong comeback?
No. No. I think we think that that might be the case because we are on Reddit a lot.
Okay, that's true. But there is a segment on, like we had mentioned it before, Chris Hardwick's At Midnight.
Yeah.
To where basically a big segment of the show is puns based on something. Like,
so it's like a Reddit thread, a comment thread.
Yeah, like, it's like a Reddit thread where three comedians make puns about a certain topic, like, you know, awful cartoons.
That makes sense, though, because like I can see puns like actually being funny when clever people are doing them.
You know,
as opposed to two dipshits on a podcast. The arcade version of this game was two-player.
Oh, that would have been nice.
I know. And I feel like we're in a final fight situation where this game would have been much more fun if I could play it with another person. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of leading in with that to ask you, do you think this game belongs in the 37 spot that IGN has put it?
See, because I have to differentiate between like my personal feelings and then like overall feelings about like, because personally, like, I don't like this genre very much.
Yeah, got to take, let's pull you out of that.
Trying to pull it out and look. Yeah. And, like, I feel like it is a, for its genre, it is a strong representation, especially for being so early.
Yeah.
It really sets the milestones for being so early. So trying to step back and overall look at it, how good of a game it is for its genre stacked up against all other games in all other genres. Mm-hmm. And,
what's the verdict?
If I were to push it back, I probably wouldn't push it back much further than 40s.
Oh, wow. That far, huh?
So I think it's got to be, I mean, it's at least in the top 50 and somewhere between where it is and like late 40s probably for me.
Huh. I really enjoyed this game. It surprised me. It really did. I was expecting something like 1942, which is an earlier Capcom game.
I've seen the NES cartridge, but I've never played it.
It's still a scrolling shooter, but it's a vertical shooter where the camera's overhead.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this game was going to be a lot like that. It's different, but it's, I think, a lot better. It's a lot more engaging. That pleased me. I honestly think that this game is, I think it's right where it belongs in the late 20s, or maybe early 30s, which I'd never, okay, never expected me to say that
about
because
a shooter,
I don't like this genre that much.
Yeah.
There is something I'd like to ask you, Tyler.
Okay.
It's pretty important.
You did it to me again.
What is your favorite cereal?
Boo. See, Kid me and adult me are pretty different when it comes to cereal.
This game came out in 1991 for the Super Nintendo. What is 1991 Tyler's favorite cereal? I'm gonna guess Honeycomb. You look like a Honeycomb guy to me. No,
my mom never bought. I only had Honeycomb later in life at over at like friends' houses.
I can just imagine you just all like in your hockey gear, just chowing down on some Honeycomb.
I had a lot of Cookie Crisp.
Cookie Crisp. That's a classic.
It wasn't around very long, but I had the Legend of Zelda cereal and
was that the Mario
the half box Mario and Zelda. I had that a few times.
That was pretty badass.
It was awesome to look at. Not great cereal,
no,
but it was cool just to have.
Yeah, definitely. It just felt cool in your belly, didn't it? you just felt like an awesome guy.
So maybe also Cookie Crisp. I loved Cuckoo Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs?
Cocoa Puffs.
Cuckoo for Cocoa
Cuckoo.
Puffs.
Cuckoo. Thank you. Do you know the name of the rabbit that sells Nesquik?
Quick the Rabbit.
Quickie.
Oh, is it Quickie? Yeah. I thought he was Quick the Rabbit.
From what Song Pop says,
yeah,
his name is Quickie.
Quickie.
When I read that, I was like, that's such fucking lazy bullshit.
That's a naughty name almost, you know? That's like Nooner the Rabbit. Nooner the Rabbit.
Afternoon Delight the Rabbit.
Loves chocolate milk when he gets hot and sweaty after lunch. So okay, that's a good... Probably I feel like you gave me some good answers.
Cocoa Puffs or Cookie Crisp, probably.
Okay, so let's just say Cocoa Puffs. Let's just go with Cocoa Puffs. Mm-hmm. If you were to give this game a beard that would get a whole bunch of Cocoa Puffs and chocolate milk in its beard after it was done eating it, what kind of beard would you give the game?
Well, see, I'd given it a different sort of beard. I'd given it John Beard.
Okay.
Which John Beard is the newscaster on Arrested Development who always reports on the what happened to the Bluth family.
Okay, right.
So I gave it John Beard.
Okay.
Because
why?
It's like it's not a real, like, you're not really in a war, okay, but it's fun. Like, this isn't really a newscast. But it's fun.
You also don't expect it. Your answer is unexpected, I feel like.
You didn't expect me to give this John Beard.
No one expects that, ever.
And kudos to the guy who like, Arrested Development whenever I said John Beard.
Uh-huh.
There's probably one person out there that did that.
I enjoy Arrested Development, and I didn't make that connection. So I appreciate you sharing. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that just... it put on every morning and went out and faced the world, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I would have to give this Tom Cruise's cool mirror shades from Top Gun.
A movie that I'm aware of.
I've never seen the whole thing in one setting.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think I might have seen the whole movie, just never at once.
Because I remember I'd seen ER before I'd seen Top Gun. So I was like, why is that doctor called Goose now?
You saw the entire run of ER before you saw.
And then like I'd seen Batman Forever. Like, why is Val Kilmer? He looks so much younger in this. Was this his first movie? That makes like, have you ever seen Real Geniuses? No. No.
Have I heard of Real Geniuses? No.
I'm not even saying the wrong movie.
I haven't. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Where Val Kilmer's like a genius.
You don't say.
You know
yeah, that one.
Well, he's like the chaotic genius in the lab full of all lawful people.
He's the genius that can eat the most hot dogs.
Yeah, that kind of genius.
He's the hot dog genius.
He's the party dog genius.
You know what? I didn't mention this, but you said Arrested Development. It reminded me of a Scrubs reference that I want to give for Megalixir.
There you go.
What's the mascot for UN Squadron, Tyler? Do you know? It's right at the start screen. It's flaming. It's on fire.
Because I remember there are three different items you could collect, being like something that looked like Chun-Li.
Chun-Li's head, essentially. That's not it.
There's like a samurai with a sword that's kind of Capcom's thing.
I could make a getting head from Chun-Li joke. That should have been an achievement. God damn it.
Was it Swan?
No, you're on the
Falcon?
Right.
Falcon?
No, colder.
Eagle.
Way cold.
Mm.
Think along a little.
Because that's a scrub thing too. Eagle! So I was like, I was dipping more in the scrubs like into the pool.
It is a unicorn.
Oh. Okay.
Or otherwise known as a horse with a sword on its head. Who's there to guard your hopes and dreams. So I thought it was interesting. These guys are so badass that they don't really need a cool mascot. I'm curious who suggested the unicorn. I'm going to go ahead and guess that it was Greg.
Hey, man, you know what's cool? What's really badass? Unicorn.
Unicorns. Unicorns.
Unicorn.
The single corns.
I know this bitch named Lisa Frank. She's got a corner of the market with unicorns.
And dolphins.
And dolphins.
Side story. I really, really... this is not a lie. I had a Lisa Frank dolphin trapper keeper for like a year because I loved dolphins, Tyler. I loved them. And I thought that it was the coolest thing. I got made fun of so hardcore and I didn't even give a shit.
Man, you and Meg need to have the Lisa Frank cast where you could just talk about all the Lisa Frank stuff.
I only know that
just
one.
Just the dolphin?
I exclusively know her dolphin line. Don't come at me talking about kittens. Don't come at me talking about ponies. All right. I can talk to you about dolphins, but that's it. Okay. What do I look like to you?
We need to do, they're not on the list. I feel like we need to do some Echo the Dolphin games now.
I would love to do an Echo the Dolphin game. Let me rephrase that. I would love to finish Echo the Dolphin.
I finished one, the one for Game Gear.
That sounded really,
that
sounded like really poor out of context.
I've only finished one dolphin. Of all the things I've finished off, just one dolphin.
Just one Lisa Frank dolphin. Just one freakish purple pink dolphin.
I remember that it was weird. The Game Gear Echo the Dolphin, the training level, you had to do like this special jump to get out of the training area into the actual game.
Yes.
But that jump was so difficult.
Yes, it was.
That there was a password in the instruction booklet to skip it.
Yes, I remember that because that's that I first played Echo the Dolphin on the Game Gear. I'll say that for Echo Cast.
Okay.
There is a new segment that I'd like to do.
Okay.
This is the first time you're hearing this. Mm-hmm. So I love it when you have a quiz for me, and I love giving you a quiz. Okay. So I want to do.
We both just love giving and receiving.
We love giving and receiving. Quizzes. And dolphins. So what I want to do is I want to give you mm-hmm. a quiz every episode. But the problem.
Every episode.
It's a one question quiz.
Okay.
It's a new segment I like to call Tyler, can you guess the price of this game?
Like so current on eBay, like how much is this game?
I'm going to set some ground rules okay. here so I'll make it easier. So I can't squirm out when you give an appropriate answer. What I want is tell me how much I found this game for on Amazon today prior to recording.
$89.
$12.89. Way less expensive yep, than I right. thought it was going to be. So I was kind of in the same category as you.
Make 30,000 of these. Greg Gates is going to be everywhere.
Tear down that Mario sticker. We got a Greg Gates for you. So if you could do me a favor and not cheat and look these up, I would really appreciate okay. it.
Yes, I can.
I mean, that. I would want to do that to look to appear like I know the value of games.
I mean, between the two of us, we have almost all of these Super Nintendo games.
Right.
So we'll just have to forget how much they cost.
Yeah.
And how much we bought them back in the day. They are all right. retail new. Yes. So
this game did not hold its value well. This one, I'm going to go ahead and mark a bad investment. Sell while you can. Mm-hmm.
Those 10,000 copies you bought? Mm-hmm. No, sorry. Mm-hmm. You got anything else to say about UN Squadron?
One thing.
Okay, let's hear it.
This ties into a plug. This ties into a okay. Facebook plug.
Okay.
If you haven't joined us yet on Facebook, please do.
197. We're close to that 200 mark.
We are so close. I'm listening to another show that has not been on nearly as long as we have. They're almost to our number of likes. It is sad. They do a really good show, mm-hmm. but it's still like, man, we gotta step up our game, man. We gotta get some Facebook likes. It's bringing me down. It's just that slow downward kaboom spiral that I'm riding right now. Chris Edler, listener Chris, mentioned on Facebook today, as an aircraft mechanic, I feel I can say UN Squadron is the most realistic simulation of tactical aviation available. Mega crushes, infinite heat-seeking missiles, and lightning shields are all very maintenance-intensive, but essential in modern military aircraft. I don't know anything about
Saint Zach
airplanes.
Totally agrees.
Well, see, Saint Zach's a helicopter guy, so I think what we need to do is get listener Chris and Saint Zach in like a boxing ring.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And just for once and for all, let's figure out what's better, an airplane or a helicopter.
I have them dressed like mascots, and they have to like run into each other. Yeah, yeah.
They're like in large cardboard
exactly.
suits. That's all I got to say. That's all I've got.
That's all I got too. I guess we should also plug Paul, because Paul played this on What's Paul Been Playing Today.
He did. And there's another reason to go to our Facebook page, because I've got a link to his video on our Facebook page. Mm. Once again, that is facebook.com/dadpog.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show at iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We don't know what we're going to be doing for next Monday. I don't think we've decided yet.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it yet.
We might be doing some more games that Matt sent us or...
Dip into that fat package?
Yeah, maybe. We don't want to say yes,
right.
But we're eyeing those games.
Yeah.
We might look at the iTunes list, what people have requested, but we don't know. But for next Wednesday, IGN's 36th ranked game, NBA Jam.
Boom shagalaka.
Mm-hmm. While you're there, never forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review.
Yeah.
And if there's a game you want us to do, include it in there.
Please.
We'll get to it.
Eventually. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be bringing you just lightning fast Tadpog action. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us at tadpog.com. Check it out. That's where the show notes are. I know I've been plugging Facebook, but I mean, really, honestly, if I had to send you somewhere,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would send you to Facebook right now. I would.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. If you can't tell, I'd really.
So I've heard about this internet. Where should I visit? What should I go to on this internet?
You should check out this. You should check out this thing that your grandmother's on now called Facebook.
Okay. My grandmother actually did befriend me like last week.
Yeah. Like everyone's grandmother's on Facebook mm-hmm. now. And it's like there's studies about. There's like research studies coming out saying that teenagers are just abandoning Facebook left and right because it's no longer a bastion. Mm-hmm. You can't put bikini pictures up.
I guess people.
Grandma's on
I
there.
Guess people don't like what you know as much. I like what my mom does on Facebook, which is put some kind of e-card about what a handsome boy I am yeah. and tag me in it. That's what she enjoys doing.
Can you ask her to start including me on that? I'd like to feel good about myself sometime.
Okay.
I don't get anything like that. It's probably that Kaboom incident. Somehow my mom knows and she's like, I'm ostracized.
You bring great shame.
I don't know what to do. Well, I know something that you can do. You can go to Twitter.
Okay.
You can find us at @Tadpog_podcast. The Tadpog Nation is strong there, Tyler. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of retweets. I don't know why I said it weird like that. Retweets. But I think that's going to be my new thing. I'm just going to say retweets like that. Retweets.
Retweets.
Yep.
Retweets.
You can also call us if you want. You can call us apparently about anything you want.
Yeah.
We'll get into that on Monday.
Oh, man. So, Monday will be a treat.
So whoever you are, let's just go ahead and say thank you. You can call us.
You know who you are and what you did. Thank you.
We've been very happy these last couple of days. You can call us at 270-883-2555. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Our intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Yeah.
A very talented gentleman who you should listen to all his music because it's all very good. You can find a link to that track in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Until next time.
Tropical Capricorn. I like how we both close our eyes when we say it. It's like a magical moment.